Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, inside of the Word of God, there are certain chapters that every Christian needs to know, that as soon as you hear the reference, you know exactly what is being referred to. For example, class, Genesis 1 speaks about Genesis 3, fall of man. 1 Samuel 17. David and Goliath, very good. That mean old Jewish person beating up on the Palestinians. I mean, there are certain other chapters. As soon as you hear it, you should know. John 3. Nicodemus, very good. Verily, verily, must be born again. John 3:16. What about John 17? No? Cool. The high priestly prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane. So there are certain chapters that as soon as you as a Christian hear, you need to already know what it's going to be on there. Psalm 23 is one of those chapters. It is often called the Shepherd Psalm. Read it with me, and of course, anyone who has religious background is at least familiar with it. Look with me, Psalm 23, and notice with me in verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Notice what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark that last phrase in Psalm 23 and verse 6? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know everyone is going somewhere for eternity? When you die, you will be somewhere forever. Now, forever is a long time. That even if you were to live 110 years, that's still a drop in the bucket compared to forever. And because forever is a long time, we need to know for sure where that forever is going to be for us. The Bible refers to our bodies as a tabernacle or a tent. Now, since we're doing a study of the tabernacle, this should be a help to us. The idea of a tabernacle is a temporary dwelling place. If you were staying in a tent in your backyard, that is not your permanent home. The kids may think it's cool until the first cold night comes, and then they want to come back into somewhere permanent, right? Well, our body is not a permanent dwelling. It is a temporary dwelling place. And as soon as our tent wears out, our tabernacle withers away, what makes us who we are will go to somewhere forever. Notice it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is somewhere where we can go. We can go forever. Here on earth, everything's going to come to an end, but there will be no end to the joy of forever if we know for sure that we're going there. Now, of course, on the other hand, Jude verse 13 describes forever that waits for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior. It says in Jude 13, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We can see that there are two different locations where people will go forever. The house of the Lord, Psalm 23, or the darkness, blackness of darkness forever, Jude. Those are two choices. How can we know for sure, and do you know for sure? If you don't mind, let's just go over and think about some of these things. First of all, entering into the family of God. Entering into the family of God. That if we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord, we have to be part of His family. If we're going to dwell there forever, doesn't that make sense? That if you have a house, you don't want the neighbor kids to live there forever. You want to send them home. Yes. Right? It's what grandparents want to do with their kid. Right? Send them home. No. The idea that being a part of the house of the Lord is part of being a part of His household. And that we need to know that we're part of that family to be welcomed there forever. Now, how do we become the family of the Lord? Well, we had mentioned before in John chapter 3, that great chapter, Jesus said, verily, verily, ye must be born again. Well, Nicodemus was a religious ruler. When Jesus said that, he scratched his old silver head and said, I don't get it. It's not like I could crawl back into mom. How does this work? And Jesus goes through and explains to Nicodemus that everyone needs to have two births. And just as real as your first birth was, your second birth is just as real. For example, let's just say that one of the Davis kids goes up to mom and says, Mom, was I born? Mom would laugh at him. I know Sarah enough that so she would laugh at him. But of course you were. But Mom, how do you know I was born? She goes, I was there. And she could give a time and a place. She could explain the events that led up to the birth. And isn't it funny how each of the kids, you could remember the event as parents. There was an event that happened, things that occurred, whether the epidural didn't work or didn't happen or what, you explain the events, right? Uh-huh. There was an event that happened that led to them being born. Well, just as real as the first birth was, your spiritual birth is just as real. You're not born slowly. There was a time and event. That's why you have a birth date and a time of birth. This is where you were completely out. This is where you were entered in the world on your own. This is where we cut the cord. This is, you are now your own individual. There was a time and a place. It wasn't a slow process. It was a time and place that have everlasting results. When you are born again, it's just as real. There was a time and a place. There was an event. There was a time that you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and now that you're alive forevermore. There was an event that happened. Something changed. And we're thankful that you can know for sure, recognizing that Jesus is your Savior, knowing that you are a sinner, and because of your sin, that you've offended a holy, righteous God, and because of that, you deserve to be separated. You are not part of His family. You deserve to be somewhere else. But God loved you so much, He wanted you to dwell with Him, so Jesus came on this earth to live the same life that you and I live, went through the same temptations, the same troubles, and the same heartbreaks. Then He died to pay the price for you and I on the cross. And that all that is left is for us to personally accept the terms that Christ has given to us, to accept that free gift for ourselves. And the moment we accept that free gift, Jesus Christ, who is God, comes to live inside of us, we become a new creature. We become born again. We are literally a brand new creature. We are regenerated, regened, a new creature. And you can't go back from being a different creature when God now is a part of you and there's no separation. You are a new creature. You are born again into something else. And now you are there in God's family forever. Notice again in Psalm 23 and notice the personal pronouns that is used in this psalm. Notice in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's saying, God is personal to me. He is my shepherd. He's not someone else's shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's not a shepherd I heard of. He is my personal shepherd. You see, our relationship with the Lord is personal. He is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here, we're recognizing it's God that leads us as a great shepherd, and we're just the sheep. He guides us and he leads us. I recognize that he is the one in control. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is leading us to try to do what's right, to glorify him, and he's constantly doing a work on us. It is a personal thing. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That we don't even have to fear death because God is with us. Oh, what a great thing knowing our great shepherd is with us. That is a personal thing. God is with me and I don't even have to fear death. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You said, what's a rod and staff? They are shepherd's instruments. The rod is used to kind of, if they see a wolf, they take that rod and they whip it and whack that wolf in the head, chase him away, get rid, so to protect the sheep. You know, that's a comforting thing to the sheep to know that he's protected. The staff, on the other hand, is used for the sheep. Sheep are stupid creatures. So are we. Sheep are known that if there was a cliff and they see something that they want on the cliff, they'll fall off the cliff into that thing. Oftentimes, sheep are some of the most helpless creatures ever. Some say the most helpless creature. If a sheep gets on its back, it can't turn over. And it's stuck. Can you imagine being so helpless? Some of us feel like it now. If we fall to the ground, we're not going to help. And so they take... The shepherd takes that shepherd's staff and they have a little crook at the end and it's made to hook their neck and they pull them back up. And you'd say, all right, the sheep is saved. But then the sheep looks down and says, hey, I think there's something interesting on there and falls back down on it. Yep. Again. And that picks us back up. The sheep does that too many times. It's obviously not going to learn its lesson. So the shepherd breaks its leg. Wow, horrible. You know, that's one of the best things the shepherd could do. Because the shepherd breaks its leg so it learns not to do that. However, the shepherd just doesn't leave him alone. The shepherd then carries that sheep around his neck until the leg is healed. There's that personal attention. Even though the sheep had to get corrected, the shepherd never left him and cared for him and is carrying him until, notice as it goes on, verse number 5. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. 5 is talking about all the blessings that we have for being part of his family, that he takes care of us, he feeds us, he cools us. The idea of he anointed my head with oil. Remember, they don't have air conditioning back in those days. So often what they would do is have a little wax thing of oil, and they would set it on your head and it would melt during the day and it would cool you off. That the shepherd cares and protects them, gives them what they need. Isn't that a blessing? Now, today, God blesses us with air conditioning. Is that a blessing? But you know, he takes care of our needs. He supplies for us. That's part of being part of his family. My cup runneth over. He just doesn't fill our cup. He overfills our cup. He gives us, and not just gives us what we need, but he gives us an abundance. Because he's a great God. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Pastor Sexton, who's now home with the Lord, he's had 2 cats. They were started off as strays, but his wife kept feeding them. And eventually he brought them inside and adopted them. And he named them, one of them Mercy and one of them Goodness. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That wherever they went, there was goodness and there was mercy just following wherever he went. And of course, he used that as an illustration, you know, that no matter where we go, we have goodness and we have mercy following us everywhere we go because of the Father that we have, because of the great shepherd that we have. Isn't that wonderful that no matter where you go, because you're part of God's family, there's goodness and there's mercy that follows you. Oh, wonderful. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 6, by the way, we have a song in our hymn book that says, surely goodness and mercy. The hymn history comes from the idea of the hymn writer. He was listening to a story of a kid when he was in Sunday school class, small little lad. He had a teacher by the name of Miss Murphy. And Miss Murphy was trying to teach him Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. And kids, you know, sometimes they don't listen well. And he went home and he says, "Man, surely Miss Murphy will follow me all the days of my life." He had misheard what she was trying to teach, but so they wrote a hymn history to try to correct that and teach us right, that it's surely goodness and mercy. But isn't that a comforting thought, that because you're part of God's family, because he's your shepherd, my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And not only that, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have confidence because I'm part of the family, because he's my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Entering part of God's family is a big deal, to know for sure that we're going to be with him forever, because he's my shepherd, because he's my God, because he's my Savior. Not only that, but we also see the idea of enjoying God's presence. Many people who say that they've entered in God's family don't seem to be enjoying the journey. They don't seem to be happy about it. They don't like God's presence. They seem to run from everything in the run after everything in the world except after God. They seem to be avoiding God's presence. All about Psalm 23 is about the shepherd, or the sheep, enjoying the shepherd's presence. The sheep did not want to be away from the shepherd. They wanted to be close to the shepherd. It was the shepherd that protected them. It was the shepherd that corrected them. It was the shepherd that led them to the still waters. It was the shepherd that led them to green pastures. It was the shepherd that provided for them. Let me tell you, the best place to be is in the presence of the shepherd. Amen. Not just in the future, but today, to be in the presence of it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life because of the presence of the shepherd. The Bible talks about verse number 4 again. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." It is God's presence that's with me that allows me not to fear death. But if I'm away from the Lord and I'm away from his presence, then I will fear death. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things to be fearful about when God's presence is not with you. And we see people who are fearful. We see Christians who are not enjoying the journey. They're not enjoying God's presence. They don't like to be in their Bible. It just baffles me, but people so far away from the Lord. I talked with a lady not too long ago. "Oh, I'm saved. How's your church attendance?" "I don't go to church." "How's your Bible reading?" "Well, I don't like to read my Bible." Well, then how are you enjoying God's presence? You're missing out on so much. There's so much to be in God's presence, the benefits that comes with it, to enjoy God's presence. "For thou art with me." Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. We have a shepherd that leads us. And he comforts us. He leads us in still waters. He leads us to green pastures. He takes us abundantly. That when he's with us, we shall fear no evil. Notice with me Psalm 48 and verse 14. Psalm 48 and verse 14. "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." When we talk about religious terms, we often talk about people who are lost. Where does that term lost come from? It's because these people do not know how to get to heaven. They are lost. Have you ever been lost where you don't know where to go? Men are pretty bad at this. We don't ask for directions. The wife says, "Just turn over and ask for someone. I got this myself." We kind of enjoy being lost. Or other people, I like maps. But you know, there are some people that said, "I don't know how to get there. I think I do. I might want to. Maybe I general direction if I keep going this way." But that's no way to get there. When God is there, he will guide you the whole way. If you know Jesus, your Savior, you'll never be lost again, because he will lead you to the house of the Lord forever. What a great comforting thought. That we could enjoy his presence, that when he's with us, it chases away those lesser fears. When he's with us, he supplies for us. When he's with us, he protects us. When he's with us, he guides us. When he's with us, there are benefits that follow us wherever we go. We should learn to enjoy his presence, to enjoy being in God's house in his presence, to enjoy our prayer time with him in his presence, to enjoy in our Bible reading in his presence, to learn to enjoy the presence of God. One more thing, eternity in God's house. Turn with me to the gospel record of John chapter 14. Now, once again, John 14 should be a chapter that every Christian needs to know. You say, why? Well, let's look at it and you'll see for yourself. John 14. Again, John 14 is in the context that Jesus is walking with his disciples up to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be going from chapter 13 all the way up to chapter 16, and then chapter 17, Jesus is actually praying. But during this walk, he is talking with his disciples and giving last-minute instructions. And in here, he begins to give something important, and the disciples start talking back with him. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," remember, that's what we were talking about, "in our Father's house, there are many mansions." By the way, let's define our terms. Mansions have changed the word. You're not getting a southern plantation. You're getting an additional room. That's what the idea of mansion is. By the way, if you looked at the millennial kingdom and the capital of Jerusalem in heaven, you get like a mile of headspace. So don't worry about being a small room. It's going to be a big room that he is building an addition for you. "If it were not so, I would told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Pause there. So in the Jewish world, they had a custom that whenever two people were now set to be married, fiance and whatnot, what would happen is that the husband would go and leave. You're like, but they were to be married. Yeah, he leaves. They have no physical contact. He leaves to go build a house for his bride. Imagine that, a culture where before you could get married, you had to have a job and have a house sustained that's paid off. That'd be nice, right? And so he had to go and prepare a house, go build it. When he was done, his father had to approve of the house. Then when the house was approved, he would be told, go get your bride. Now, because of that, you didn't know when the house would be finished and when it'd be approved. So they didn't set wedding dates like December 6th at 1 o'clock. The bride had to be ready because she didn't know when he would come. She had to be ready anytime, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but maybe soon. He's coming again. And she had to be ready and anticipating. Maybe today's the day he comes back. Maybe the day. And she had to always be prepared, always be watching, always be looking. Is this the day he's coming back? Is this the day that he's coming back? Notice again, with that context in mind, verse number 2. "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." So remember, the church is the bride of Christ. He's going to go build a house for his bride. So he's leaving and he's building a house. By the way, what is he doing now? He's preparing a mansion for us. But notice, "and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." We as the bride, is he coming today? Is he coming today? We don't know when he's coming, but we have to be ready at any time. Is he coming today? And he says, "I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, there you may be also," to go live in the Father's house forever. Verse number 4, "And whither I go you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" That's a good question. Lord, you said you're leaving and that you're going to take us with us. How do we get there? How do we get there? I mean, do we get a map? Are you going to share a Google thing off my text? What? How do we get there? Notice Jesus' answer. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." How do we get to heaven? How do we go with the Father's house? How do we dwell with him forever? Because Jesus Christ, the only way, we go through him. And when we know Jesus is our Savior, he gives us the way. And we will be in eternity in God's house, that he is preparing a place and he's going to come back for us. He won't leave us behind. We need to be looking for his soon return, because he's coming to take us away out of this place to somewhere else, to dwell with him forever. Isn't that what every young bride wants? She wants her husband to sweep her off her feet and take her forever and dwell in the house forever and live happily ever after with balls and dresses and whatever else Disney tells you that they need. The idea is that, you know, every girl who wants to be married plans on being with Prince Charming for the rest of her life. Happily ever after, the end, Disney style, right? That's what we get with the Lord. Is that he's coming back, he's building a place for us, a place that we couldn't even imagine. And when his Father gets the approval, he is coming back to take his bride home, and we will be with him forever. So the question, very basic, do you know for sure that you're going to this house? Are you forgiven of your sins? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, let me know. I'll be glad to show you from the Bible how you can get that secured, that you can know without a doubt that you'd be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Second question, are you enjoying his presence? Do you enjoy being with God? If not, maybe there's something that needs to be adjusted. If you don't enjoy reading your Bible, there's something that needs to be adjusted. If you don't enjoy being in church, there's something that needs to be adjusted. If you don't enjoy praying and talking with him, there's something that needs to be adjusted, because the presence of our shepherd should comfort us, because he guides us, he cares for us, he supplies for us. We should enjoy the journey and enjoy his presence. What a wonderful shepherd that we have. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.